would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, please? Chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, second chapter of the Bible. We're going to begin by reading the first six verses from Exodus 3, and then just keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be referring to this story throughout. This a very familiar story to most of us. It's one of the great events in the history of God working with his people. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I wonder if you have ever felt like you have been forgotten by God. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. Thought that, you know, with the things that are going on in my life and the struggles that I'm having, where is God in all of this? And I have a suspicion that this is the way Moses felt. He felt that God had forgotten about him, no longer kept tabs on where he was. It's ironic that this chapter opens with Moses tending his father-in-law's sheep in the backside of the desert, in the boondocks. My goodness, what has happened to this man of promise? What happened to the young man with the high and lofty ambitions? What happened to the man who was so thoroughly trained and prepared for great things? Raised in Pharaoh's palace, educated in the finest institutions, a man destined for greatness. If there was anybody that would be surely to succeed in life and become great, it would be Moses. But here he is in the backside of a desert, tending sheep, living a mundane life. What happened? I want to talk to you this morning about moving from the mundane to the memorable. Because I believe that most of us live mundane lives. But God doesn't want us to be content living mundane lives. He has a life and some things planned for us that are memorable, things that we will never forget, things that will change our life. Well, you know the story. Moses had all along thought what he was doing was right. One day he saw an Egyptian abusing a fellow Hebrew slave, so he slew the Egyptian and he buried him in the sand. And then one day he came upon two Hebrews fighting and he tried to intervene in that situation. And they said, Who made you a prince over us? Who made you a ruler over us? Are you going to kill us too like you did that Egyptian? And Moses said, Oh no, I have been found out. And he fled Egypt. Here he is, 40 years later. All that promise, all that expectation, all that enthusiasm. Here he is, a forgotten man on the backside of the desert. I wonder if you have ever felt that way. I wonder if maybe you feel that way here today. I wonder, because I know that some of you gave your life to your job, and after 20, 25, 30 years or more, the company one day said, We're downsizing. There's not room for you anymore. What happened to those years of faithful service? I think of Don. How many years did you give your company, Don? 39 years. In the midst of it all, Don continued to serve God, continues to serve God to this day. And there are others here. Maybe a lady is here. You married your knight in shining armor to find out that he wasn't a knight at all. And you've been living for years in an abusive relationship, and you wonder, where is God? Has God forgotten about me? There are some ministers who ask the question. I asked myself that question one time in my ministry. God, have you forgotten about me? Do you know where I am? Went through all this training. All I want to do is preach the gospel, and I feel like I'm all alone in the backside of a desert. I think single parents, and especially single moms who tries to raise children and work, and they wonder what happened to their life, what happened to all the promise. Has God forgotten about me? Has life become mundane? And so I want to talk to you about meeting God in unexpected places, in unexpected times. I want to be honest with you, I've never tended sheep. I can't put that on my resume that I tended sheep for 5 years. Seems to me like a dull, boring job. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would like it. And can you imagine doing this for 40 years, day after day after day, leading those dumb sheep in the wilderness, trying to lead them to different pasture, trying to lead them to a place where they could find water to drink? I mean, here's Moses. He's been doing the same thing for 40 years. Life must have been monotonous. It must have just become mundane, routine to him, not expecting anything to happen. I mean, the last thing on his mind that is that anything miraculous would happen that day. How boring of a day he was expecting. And then he sees a burning bush. And the thing about this bush was not that it was burning, that it was on fire, but it was not being consumed. It was not being burned up. He must have been so excited because there's something out of the ordinary. There's something to relieve the boredom or the mundane of this day. So here he is. He's all alone. He's going about his daily routine. And all of a sudden, he sees that bush. Now, I think that he knew that bush. He'd been in this area 40 years. That bush wasn't new. He had probably seen it every day. But then he looked at it, and this time there's something a little bit different about that bush. This time the bush is on fire. Some have tried to explain it away by saying the sun was, you know, just shining on it the way the sun was hitting it looked like it was on fire. Let me tell you, Moses was a veteran out there. He was not fooled by any apparition. He knew a fire when he saw it. And this bush was on fire. And notice that the scripture says that he turned aside to see. Okay, so here he is. He's walking along. He's tending sheep. He notices the bush is on fire, but he turns aside to look at the bush, to study the bush, and he's wondering why this bush is not being consumed. Why is it not burning up? And when he turns aside to see, suddenly there's a voice that speaks to him and calls him by name and says, "Moses, Moses, you are in the wilderness, in the boondocks, alone." All of a sudden, there's a voice. All of a sudden, somebody is calling your name. He would not expect to hear his name out there. He hadn't probably heard his name called like that in many years, in a long time. "Moses, don't come any closer." He turned aside to see the bush. "Don't come any closer to the bush because you are standing on holy ground." And then he identifies himself. "I am the God of your father." And he met God and his whole life changed. And he discovered that during the 40 years when he thought God had forgotten about him, God had not forgotten about him. And could I just tell you today that God has not forgotten about you? No matter where you are in life, no matter what you are going through, God has not forgotten. Even if you feel lonely and you feel like nobody's calling your name, God has not forgotten about you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are, and he has known all along. I think one of the most encouraging things to me about this story and other stories similar to this in the Bible is that no matter how much I have failed or feel like a failure, and no matter how much my enthusiasm has drained away because of the boredom of life or because of the twists and the fate of life, God knows where I am. My life might be mundane, but God has not forgotten about me. I could meet him any day, and I could have an experience that would transform my life at any moment. Because I want you to know that at any moment of time, life can go from the mundane to the momentous. And if we are going to see that happen, we need to realize three things. Okay, first of all, if we are going to experience life going from the mundane to the momentous, we need a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural. We need to have a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural. I think for all of us to qualify for this kind of encounter, there are certain things that need to be true. And first of all, for us to have a moment when we meet God, any moment that God could come and save us out of drudgery and deliver us from meaningless, there has to be a certain, I'm not really sure how to say this, other than a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural events of life. There has to be a willingness and a sensitivity to experience things that we don't expect. I think you have to be willing to see the extraordinary in the ordinary, to see the divine in the daily life. When it comes to the idea of worshiping God or meeting God or having an experience with God, most of us think that those experiences are going to take place within the four walls of a church. See, we come to church, we're expecting that we're going to meet God, and if we're going to have an experience anywhere, it's going to be within the four walls of a church, and more likely it's going to happen during the church service or during the altar time. And for some, you know, they got to have the good music. There has to be somebody officiating. There has to be a preacher or somebody delivering a message. And within the structures of this, we're going to hear God. That's when we're going to meet God. And the rest of the week, it's all kind of, you know, run-of-the-mill. It's all kind of mundane. But can I tell you that if you are going to meet God, you have to be willing to meet him outside the walls of this church. You can't discount what God wants to do in your life other than Sundays, that God wants to meet with you. He wants to have you to have an encounter with him. He wants you to experience him 7 days a week. You know, I've always been intrigued by the fact that the two disciples, the two men on the road to Emmaus, after the resurrection of Jesus, they hadn't known that Jesus had resurrected yet. They are walking away from the believers in Jerusalem. Two of them are walking to their own home on the way to Emmaus, when all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and begins to talk with them. They don't recognize who he is, though. They had a lively conversation, and as they talked, their hearts began to catch fire. They later said, "Our hearts burned within us when he talked with us," by the way. But here they are, they get to their house, and Jesus makes like he's going to go on, and they say, "No, why don't you come in and have something to eat with us?" And Jesus came into their house. He's no stranger to them, but they don't recognize the glorified, risen Christ. They don't recognize the resurrected Christ. But then Jesus does something, and immediately they recognized who he was. You know what Jesus did? He simply took bread and broke it. And when they saw Jesus take the bread and break it, they said, "This is Jesus. This is the one that was crucified, but now he's alive. He's been risen again." And here's the thing. They saw Jesus in an ordinary, mundane part of their life, and they had an encounter with him. They recognized who he was like they'd never recognized who he was before. Do you know what I'm trying to say? We cannot get beyond or we have to get to the place where we can see Jesus in just the ordinary things of life. Because if we're not looking for him in the ordinary things of life, we might miss him. We might miss out. And the reason that I believe it requires a certain curiosity on our part, a certain sensitivity and willingness and openness to see these things, is that if you read the text carefully, it says that when God saw Moses turn aside, then he spoke to him. I think that if Moses would have seen the burning bush and he would have just looked at it and said, yeah, that's an interesting thing, and he would have kept on walking, he would have missed out on this whole encounter with God that would have changed his life. But when he became curious and he turned aside, that's when God spoke to him. And here's the thing in our life, many times we're just walking along and we see things that should cause us to stop and become curious about them, should cause us to stop and take a closer look and say, God, are you in that? But instead, we're not curious enough and we just keep on and we just walk on by. And I wonder how many times God wants to change the mundaneness of our life, if that is such a word. Our mundane lives, and turn some situation into something memorable. But we just walk on by. We're not curious enough to turn aside. I have an idea that when Moses caught a glimpse of that burning bush, if he would have said things, you know, like I'm just too busy. I've got to keep my eyes on these sheep. I've got a job to do. I don't have time. I've got a schedule to keep. I have too many things to take care of. I don't think God would have called after him. I don't think God would have chased after him. But Moses took the time to turn aside, and he refused to be preoccupied with the mundane affairs of life. And in the midst of that daily routine, there was a burning bush. There was something that captured his attention, that drew him. But here's the thing, he yielded to that drawing. There are times when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and he is tugging at your heart, and he is drawing you. But you need to yield, you need to give into that drawing. You say, preacher, I don't know that I've ever seen a burning bush. No, I haven't seen a burning bush either, but I have a bush burning within me, and it's called the Holy Spirit. And you have a bush burning inside you, and he's called the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit is calling you, and the Holy Spirit is saying, would you just turn aside? I want to show you something miraculous. I want to take your mundane life, and I want to turn this into an experience that you will never forget. But how often do we yield to the Holy Spirit who's calling and working in our lives? You know, you've been there. I know you have. You have this indescribable, undefinable longing or aching for something more. But oftentimes, you're too busy, I'm too busy, we're too preoccupied to check it out. And I think that we have missed many burning bush experiences because of our preconceived ideas on how God works, or because we simply had been living too busy lives. Our schedules are too full. As a matter of fact, I have an idea that we ought to always go around barefoot. Spiritually speaking, I love to wear shoes, but spiritually speaking, we need to go barefoot and take off our shoes, because aren't we always walking on holy ground? Aren't we always in God's presence? In the most unexpected ways, in the most unexpected times, God may be speaking to you and may be calling you. You may have an encounter with God, but you've got to be sensitive enough to respond to that burning and open to believe that God can speak to you supernaturally out of the absolute, natural, and mundane area of life. Most of us don't live brilliantly exciting lives. Most of us live just normal life. I mean, I don't know anybody here. Maybe someday there will be a movie made of your life, but I don't know anybody here that's going to have a movie made out of their life. That's just the way most of us are. But that's the kind of person that God is looking for so that he can take them from the mundane to the momentous. Something else that really blessed me about this is that God meets us in a personal way. Now, even though that we are a congregation of people here this morning, it never fails to amaze me that God knows each and every person and their situation. I mean, Jesus was able to preach to multitudes, but he looked on individuals with compassion. And that's the way God looks at us today. He sees us, yes, as a church. He sees us as a congregation here at Calvary Assembly of God in Wilson, Wisconsin. But he knows each and every one of you individually in a personal way as well. It was personal because God called Moses by name. Moses. Moses. And Moses said, "Here am I." But as we read this, something else struck me. I don't think in all my times of reading this story it has ever struck me like this before. In verse 5, God is going to identify himself. "Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. Take off your sandals, Moses, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground." And then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now, we are accustomed to God saying, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." But notice that is not what God says. "I am the God of your father." I think Moses here needs a personal touch. After all, he's been out of circulation for 40 years. So he says, "I am the God of your father. I am the God of your dad." And then he says, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I wondered why God said, "I am the God of your father." And I believe it's because Moses needed that personal touch at that moment. I didn't know my dad, but I had an outstanding grandfather, and occasionally I would run into people who knew my grandfather, and they would say, "Your grandfather was a great man. Your grandfather was a godly man. Him and I were good friends." They'd say things like, "I knew you when you were just a little boy." Do you know that suddenly there was a connection between the stranger and me? He knew my dad, my granddad. And all of a sudden, I would become more interested in what he had to know about my grandfather. So there's Moses. He's banished. He's on the backside of the desert. He's frustrated with the failure of life. Life is boring. Life is mundane. And God is saying to Moses, "You may have forgotten me, but I am the dad. I am the God that your dad served. I am the God that your father knew." And that's when Moses hid his face. And so, first of all, for us to have these encounters in unexpected places, there must be a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural, to believe that God can speak divinely in the daily routines of life. I believe there's something else that is required, and that is, number two, a certain reverence for God's character and who God is. A reverence for God's character and who God is. God said to Moses, "Don't come any closer." It's one thing to get curious, but it's another thing to become too familiar. "I may be the God of your father, but that doesn't mean that you can rush into my presence with your shoes on. Doesn't mean that you can take my holiness lightly." There's a caution there for all of us. "I know you, Moses, and I know your name, but let's not get too carried away. There's still a difference between us. I am infinite, you are the finite. I am the creator, you are the creature, you are the creation. Take off your shoes." And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. There needs to be a certain reverence, a certain respect and awe for God's character. I'm afraid that's something that's missing in our generation. In our attempts to become more personal with God, perhaps in worship in other ways, and I just sometimes sense that we have lost the awesomeness and the holiness and the majesty and the awesomeness of God. He's become too familiar. You still don't treat God in a casual, cavalier, familiar way. There's still an awesomeness about him. Moses hid his face because he was afraid. You know this, you've been told this a dozen times. When the Old Testament talks about fearing the Lord, it's not talking about being scared, like being scared out of the dark or something like that. It means that you have a reverence, a holy reverence for God. That's the idea. So you are careful where you walk. You're careful how you walk. It's that awareness that God is watching and that God is aware of me. Moses didn't jump up and down and shout when God spoke to him. He hid his face. It's like John on the Isle of Patmos. Here's another man who could have thought that God had forgotten about him. This close disciple of Jesus found himself exiled on an island all by himself. What happened to his years of faithful service? Had God forgotten about him? He's in exile. Could very well seem like God had forgotten, and suddenly Jesus, the resurrected, glorified Lord, appears to him. What did John do? He struck up the band. No, he fell on his face as though he were dead. When Peter was out fishing and they weren't catching any fish, Jesus said, "Why don't you try casting the net on the other side?" There's nothing worse for a fisherman to have somebody who's not a fisherman give them advice. I know because I'm not a fisherman. People don't like it when I give them advice. Here's a carpenter's son. He's standing on the shore. "How long have you been fishing?" Don't ask that question. "All night." How many fish have you caught?" "Haven't caught anything." "But why don't you try the other side of the boat?" "Yeah, right. There isn't any fish on this side. Why should there be any on the other side?" But here's the thing. Peter, at Jesus' word, let down the net, and the net was full of fish. What did Peter do? He ran to the shore and said, "Let's give 3 cheers for Jesus. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray." No, he said, "Oh God, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you and I are always to be super serious and solemn in the presence of God and in our worship. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that if we are going to move from the mundane to the momentous, and if you and I are going to meet God and have an encounter with God, and if God is going to speak to us, I believe there has to be in our hearts and lives a quality of reverence and awe for God. The bush was burning. The ground was not holy because the bush was burning. The ground was holy because God was there. The third thing that we need to keep in mind if we want to move from the mundane to the momentous is this. All such encounters with God result in a certain responsibility in God's cause. If we are going to have an encounter with God, we realize then that there's going to be some responsibility for us that comes out of that encounter. We are going to be responsible for something that has to do with the cause of God. So I think, first of all, there has to be this sensitive spirit, this willingness to see the supernatural in the natural, willingness to hear God speak out of a bush. Secondly, there has to be this reverence and awe feeling for a holy God, realizing that we are in His presence, and then realizing that all such encounters result in a certain responsibility. In other words, you don't meet God just for the sake of meeting God. You will notice it says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." God's saying, there's a purpose in this encounter. There is a reason why I have come to you today, and I am speaking to you out of this burning bush. There is a mission behind this endeavor. There is a calling. And he goes on to further detail further things in chapters 3 and 4. He tells Moses exactly what he is to do, what he's to say. And he said, you will serve God in this mountain. In other words, I'm meeting you and we'll have this encounter not just to make you feel good, not just so that you can feel warm and fuzzy all over. There is something that I have for you to do. I want you to tell people something. I want you to become a spokesman for me. I want you to become a leader for me. Moses had been missing, how long? 40 years. He's given up on the expectations of doing anything. I mean, let's face it, his best days are behind him. He's not a young man anymore. He's 80 years old. God has something he wants you to do, no matter what your age is. The youngest person here to the oldest person here, God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose for you. God has something that he wants you to do. There's a place where you fit in the body of Christ, where you fit in the community of Christ. God has destined it. You're not going to escape it. You are not going to be able to forget it. You can make all the excuses you want to make, as Moses did. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that God created us unto good works, which he has before preordained that we should walk in them. In other words, in eternity past, God had a work for you to do. It was already part of his plan. It was already part of his divine purpose for your life. And success in life, success is kind of one of those elusive things. How do you really define it? How do you grasp it? How do you know whether somebody's successful or not? Well, we know that success is not making a lot of money and doing other things that the world might be measuring success by. But I believe it's this. I believe it's finding out what God created you to do and doing it. Finding out what God's purpose in your life is and then doing it to the best of your ability. That's success. And God is not going to let you escape it. As Scripture says, he's preordained you for good works, that you will walk in them. Not like Moses making all these excuses. The thing is that Moses more than likely put his shoes back on after this experience. Why? Because there was some places to go. There were some people to talk to. There were some things to do. And he went back to his father-in-law, said, I'm quitting. I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going to lead my people out of bondage. Do you know what I would have done? I would have stopped right there at that burning bush, and I would have built a church and called it the Burning Bush Fellowship. But that's not what Moses did. You know, I'd have said, everybody come to the burning bush. We got the presence of God in our church. We got a burning bush to show it. This is where God is. He's right here. Everybody come to the burning bush. But Moses left that place. See, burning bushes have their place, but you don't make holy places out of them. They have a purpose, but God never wanted Moses to camp there and worship at this bush. I'd like us to look at some of these excuses. They're familiar to us. Kind of funny. Ken Davis has made a message out of this that's hilarious. A screenwriter, a playwriter, someone could make a hilarious comedy out of this. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, so go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? You know, who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He's lost his ambition, hasn't he? He's lost a lot of his pride. God had consigned Moses to the backside of the desert to kind of maybe temper him down a bit. Here he's a man who resorted to violence. He was a man who was quick-tempered and said, I'm going to do the work of God and I'm going to do it my way. He goes wildly enthusiastic, impetuous, slew the Egyptian. Maybe he needed 40 years in the backside of the desert to calm down. But God was preparing him even there. But now Moses said, who am I? I'm a nobody. Same excuse we use. God, we say, God, who am I? I'm a nobody. Why would you call me? God's answer, I know. I know you're a nobody. God did not respond to Moses by saying, I will make you great. Instead, he says, I'll go with you, Moses. See, God is not looking for extraordinary people. God is looking for ordinary people who will trust an extraordinary God. You and I, and you and God, together are a team that can't be beat. You remember when Jesus had breakfast with the disciples in John chapter 21? He had already been resurrected. And Jesus, he's not going to take the natural route. He's on the shore. He's preparing breakfast for the disciples who are out fishing. Peter sees Jesus on the shore. He's not about to wait for the boat. He leaps out of the boat, swims to shore, comes before the Lord. They sit down and eat breakfast. Things are calming down a bit. Jesus said, Peter, I've got some things I want to say to you. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? Even Jesus knew that with Peter. He says, I want to ask you, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Sometimes God assigns us to our desert because he's trying in those times to make us into the person that he can use. He's got to change our character. He's got to have time to work on us. He's waiting for us to become mature. The interesting thing is that every time Moses makes an excuse, God answers it. He makes excuse after excuse, but God answers every one of them. If God spoke to you verbally today, if you heard the voice of God say, go, what would you do today? I think most of us would say, okay, God, let's go. But not Moses. His next excuse, I don't know what to say. Does that sound familiar? God, I don't know what to say. God's answer, I'll tell you what to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll tell you what to say. And he goes on for several verses telling Moses exactly what to say. Would you be ready to go at that point? Not Moses. He said, what if they don't believe me? Does that sound familiar? God's answer to Moses, that's not your worry. That's not your concern. That's not your job. The results are up to God. I love this part. All we are to do is be faithful to the mission that God has called us to do. Faithful to do what God tells us to do, and a tremendous burden falls from our shoulder because the results are up to God. God tells Moses that he will show Egypt his power. Let's give you a little taste of this, Moses. What's in your hand? This is just a staff, shepherd's staff, just a rod. Throw it down. He throws it down. What happens to it? Turns into a snake. Moses did what most of us would do. Moses did what I would do. You read it carefully. He turned tail and ran. That's what I'd do. He was gone. And God had to call Moses back. And he said, Moses, pick up the snake. Are you kidding me? He picks up the snake. It turns back into a stick. Turns back into the rod again. When God taps us on the shoulder and says, go do this. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you what to say. And it's my job to accomplish what I send you to do. Would you be willing to go? You would think Moses would have gotten it right by now, but he hasn't yet. He's still reluctant to go. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seen or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Excuse. God, I don't talk very well. Doesn't matter, God said. I don't care. God's answer to Moses, Who made you, Moses? I know what I'm doing by choosing you. I know what I'm doing by picking you. You're my choice. And see, we go through all these excuses. God, not me. And we got all these reasons why God can use us. And God says, You're the person I've chosen. You're the person that I am looking for. But here's the thing that captivates me about this particular incident. The Lord admits that Moses is slow of speech. Maybe he does have some sort of speech impediment. God admits that. He doesn't say, Moses, you're just making excuses. But verse 12, he says, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Verse 13, and he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now we're getting to the truth. All those excuses basically lead up to this point. God, let somebody else do it. Does that sound familiar? Let the pastor do it. Let somebody else who's more qualified do it. God says, No, I have foreordained you. I have chosen you. I have you in my grasp. I have captured you in my net, and I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you make these excuses. And the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, Okay, if you're slow of speech, what about your brother Aaron? And you know the rest of the story. And whatever we lack, it's no excuse, because God compensates for that. There's an Aaron for every Moses. And to sum it up, God meets us just where we are. Moses did not have to get out of the desert, go back to the palace before God spoke to him. God spoke to him right where he was. And I want you to know today that God speaks to you just where you are. If you're in the desert today, he's speaking in the desert. If you're in the pig pen where the prodigal son was, he's speaking to you in the pig pen. That's why we sing the song, Just As I Am. Just as I am, I come, because God meets us right where you are. But if you are going to move from the mundane to the momentous, you have to have a certain curiosity and sensitivity. Maybe not here in the four walls of the church, but maybe tomorrow on your dull job, God might allow you to have a burning bush and speak to you out of the bush. Are you willing to see God in the ordinary, natural things of everyday life? Are you willing to reverence and honor the holiness of God? And are you willing to follow through on his purpose for changing your day?